Thank you. Has our GSR any announcements to make?
Yeah, there's short commitment.
Thanks, Kai.
Okay, could you all please check that your mobiles are switched off and please try and keep disruption to a minimum? Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce the second of tonight's speakers, Anna.
Thanks. My name's Anna, I'm an addict. I'm slowly getting more and more nervous and sweaty. But and I normally start sort of sharing from the past, sort of how I got here and that I'm an addict. But actually, I want to start talking about how I've been the last few months in recovery and then maybe go back and forward about what's going on, because I've been very, very unhappy. And the thing about unhappiness is me is that I don't like it. And I don't like it because it means I get very uncomfortable and I get very diseased when I'm unhappy. And I want to try and find something to blame when I'm unhappy. I become very self-absorbed when I'm unhappy. I tend to feel slightly piteous of myself, slightly. I'm quite good with self-pity now, but I do tend to have hours of it, you know, in the day. I also get very controlling. You know, there's a whole lot of things that happen when I get unhappy, because when I get unhappy, I get really fearful. I get really fearful that something very bad is going to happen, or that I'm very bad, or that something's going to happen. And that's how I felt before I picked up drugs. Something wasn't right. So what's happening now is nothing like what it was happening when I was a child, and these sort of feelings of something bad happening, or maybe I'm bad, or some impending doom, something. What's happening now is I might as well just tell you everything. I'm in a 20-year marriage in recovery. My husband's clean, I'm clean. We've been together for 20 years, Joe. And I'm unhappy. We have two beautiful children in recovery, which I never thought, I always wanted, but I didn't know I was going to do in my using. And I've had a lovely time with my kids. My eldest just turned 13 on the weekend. But I'm really unhappy. I'm going to start crying, but I'm very unhappy. And what I want to do is blame Joe. I want to go, listen, do, you know, be this, do this. Or I want to look at my kids, Ariel and Cosmo, and I want to say, guys, stop swearing. Or boys, swear. Stop swearing, stop yelling, stop demanding from me. Or I want to blame work. I want to go, I'm working too much. I haven't got enough work. Or I want to blame money. I've got too much money. I haven't got enough money. I can't do this. Oh, but I can do that. But I can't do this. I'm unhappy. So I get, my first instinct is to go out. Yeah, is to go out there. So my eating's been erratic, mad, stuffing, you know, opening the fridge 15 times when I'm watching a one-hour show on the telly. You know, like, you know that, you just go, look, sit down. Do you know, I'm not right, or I want to go shopping, or, you know, I just want to spend money on nothing, or I want to buy more plates. We've got a lot of plates and towels in my house. Do you know, like towels, I like to, I don't know. Anyway, so these are things that I want, I go out, I'm unhappy. So I've spent the last, it's not a few months, I think 6 months. Let's get honest. You know, I think quite a while in my recovery, well, I've been really unhappy and I haven't been able to stay with myself enough to work out what's going on. So I've been, not exactly acting out, but I'm acting out. You know, I'm acting out. I'm pretty grumpy. I'm irritated. I'm arrogant. I'm, all this stuff's happening. And these are my defects of character. And it's driven by this fear that something very bad's going to happen, which is, do I stay in my marriage? Do I work at it tenaciously, like a dog with a bone? Do I say, Joe, you're it, and I want this. I have two children to think about. You know, I have all this stuff coming from my background or our, you know, I think about it. Or do I do that, or do I say, you know, 20 years is a good innings. It's a very good innings, and should we leave amicably? And I've been tossing and turning and wondering what to do. And I'm not sure I'm ready to leave, because I'm not sure it's that broken. But I feel very broken. So I'm juggling. And so the reason I'm in NA is because I'm an addict. Every fibre of my body is an addict. When I was 13, I had planned my first drink to the T. I knew where the vodka was in my stepfather. Oh, he was a vile man. Stepfather's drinking cabinet. I knew that if I mixed it with orange juice, because I heard my sister and her friends talking about it, that it would make something called a vodka and orange, which I had no idea really about. And I knew that I would fill up a flask going to a posh school's dance with my sister and her friends, and that I was going to go on the dance and drink it. And I knew somehow, intuitively, I knew that it would make me feel better. And that's exactly what I did at 13 at this bloody dance, and I got absolutely paralytic. I fell asleep, of course, zoned out, vomited everywhere, vodka and orange and disco light, vomited, and woke up to my sister going, "I'm so ashamed of you, I'm so ashamed," my mother crying, all this stuff. I loved it. I thought, I'm going to do that again. So I am an addict. There's nothing I wouldn't try. I don't care. I'd pretend I'd had. I couldn't care less what it looked like, what colour it was. If you scraped it off the floor, I'd have it. Like the fags I used to pick up when I had no money. I couldn't care. I am an addict. And it hasn't gone. I've been clean for 27 years, and I know what I am. I know what I am. And it brings me relief by coming here. And the last speaker shared that his obsession was taken away very early, and so was mine. And it hasn't really come back, actually, because of that first step. Everything else I've done wrong. I can guarantee, well, I'll tell you a few of them. In recovery, I've done everything wrong, except I've never wavered from that first step because I know who I am. I know that. I don't like it. I would rather have something else, but I've got this. So anyway, as a kid, at 13, I was living in a house with my mum and her stepdad. I'm slashing my wrists, with a bit of glass I found in the bin. I'm popping pills, travel sickness pills in Australia. I was mad. And every photo of me as a child, like toddler, like three, upwards, I was like, there's not one family photo of me smiling. I was so unhappy. This is the unhappiness. I don't know if it's exactly unhappiness. I'll get there. But anyway, so 13, I'm very distressed. This stepfather's chasing around, trying to hit me. I lock myself in my room. He doesn't get me. I don't get him. I don't like him. He fines me 50 cents every time I swear at the dinner table, so I keep swearing, and I've got no money left, What's he going to do? It's not good. My mother in an unhappy relationship, my sister deciding, I'm too old for you, I don't want you around, I'm lonely, no one wants me, I'm a mess. My mother, can't you be more like your sister? And I go, great, okay, there's something wrong, there's something bad about me, something wrong with me. So anyway, from 13 onwards, I start using, right? I go to a school where at year 7, which is we had a smoking area at my school. I went to a free school. My mother was very liberal. So I'm at a perfect school for me. So I don't go to school. We're smoking dope. We're not going to classes. I get kicked out because I haven't gone to a class for a year. So I go to this other school, tech school. Loved it, right? Anyway, got into school, but every weekend, every moment I could, I find the drugs, the alcohol, or people doing it. I start hanging around with people older. Age 14, I'm wearing stilettos, I'm wearing a dress, I'm going to pubs, Australia, where everyone's drinking. No one cares how old I am. I'm just in there doing it. And that, it wasn't very, nothing sort of bad happened. I loved it. I loved it. I wanted more. So anyway, it's really boring my using because actually I gave up when I was 21. I got to NA, and I didn't really do much in my using. It was really boring. But I was on opiates by the end, injecting on the street, homeless. And I was pathetic. I was a coward in my using. I would get other people. I knew this woman and she was a prostitute, so I would pimp for her. I'd find her punters so that I could get the drugs. I mean, it's a bit pathetic. I was a coward. I'd do things like that, or I'd sit in the car while everyone robbed the house and then feel really anxious, go, oh my God, look what I've done. I've done nothing. I've sat in the car and I've enjoyed the fruits of their labour by using the drugs. So I was slightly pathetic. Well, nice enough, but slightly pathetic. So I get to NA finally because I follow a guy in who I had been sleeping with. He's decided to go to treatment with. I've known him for years, we've been using. So I come to NA. Everyone goes, oh, God, see, I'm not here for me, I'm here with him. I don't do NA. Didn't really hear anything. Piers keeps coming to meetings, and I end up in a detox. My mother gets sort of called back from Europe. There's a big family meeting. Anna, you're unwell. And I move in with my mother. And I don't go to meetings, and I use every second day, and I get a job, full-time job, looking after disabled people, drinking. I mean, I took them out, get them drink. I mean, I wasn't great. I took their money. You know, but it's slightly pathetic. I didn't really do a lot, but just these little insidious things, lying, cheating, stealing, sort of sneaky cow. I was just such a cow. I didn't mean to be, but I was. Anyway, eventually I go to a meeting on my own. You said something about this seed of addiction gets planted, and I end up in a meeting on my own because actually the truth is I had nowhere else to go. I had no friends. The only friend I had was another ex-boyfriend, who Michael, who is still using to this day. And I used to get him to come around, ring him up, "Oh, I'm so desperate, please bring me some drugs," you know, and I'd use, you know, and that was the only friend I had. And my sister didn't speak to me, no one spoke to me. So anyway, I came to NA. So my using is really boring, but I did short, sharp, sort of quick using. And I got to NA, and I'm quite a full-on person, so I threw myself into NA. By 6 weeks clean, I was at the ASC as a GSR. I had no idea what an ASC was. I had no idea what a GSR, and any newcomers, it's just meetings about meetings is all it is. It's meetings about how to run meetings. And I didn't have a clue. I had kept my job with the sort of disabled people, so I was doing that. And I was working full-time, and I was going to meetings every night. I had a sponsor who was getting me on the steps. By 6 weeks clean, I was on my fourth step. I was going to ASCs. I was going to conventions. I threw myself in the middle of NA because I had nowhere to go, and I loved it. I loved it because all of a sudden I didn't have to worry about doing those pathetic, cowardly things that I had to do in order to sort of use. But what I was unhappy. It was like this manic defense against this unhappiness. I was like, NA is amazing. I love being NA. I'm an addict. Isn't it amazing? I go to meetings and I do this. I go, come on, I would do outreach calls. We'll go do dinner. We'll do all this stuff. And underneath it, I don't think I was not very happy. I did my fourth step by year clean. I hadn't done them all by then. You know, did my fourth step, and I shared it with my sponsor, who marked it with a red pen because I'd made some mistakes. I mean, we were all a bit mad. And she marked it with a red pen, and I said, all right, I'll... You know, she kept saying, self-acceptance, powerless. I go, am I, you know, a year clean, 22 years old, going, am I really? Do you know, like, and I, okay, all right, I am, and I'm going to meetings, I'm going to the next convention, I'll do service, da-da-da-da-da. So I do all this. Piers breaks up with me, right? Because all this time, Piers and I had got this guy I was using with. He had stayed clean. I got clean. We've been together. He goes, I want to break up with you. That's it. 3 years clean. I was devastated. And I was very unhappy. But again, this manic defense. Okay, fine. You're broken up. Okay. So I kept working. I decided to go back to college because while I was using, I did a college course, which I had embezzled money from, and they asked me to leave. But I reapplied and got back in to finish the degree I'd started, right? That's recovery, right? 3 years. So anyway, got back. So I was doing this course. I was still working. I was going out to nightclubs, 22, 23. I was busy, and I loved NA, and I was in recovery, and life was amazing, a pink cloud, what, I'm in it, I'm never leaving that pink cloud. So the truth is, I'm devastated. Piers wants to leave me for another woman in Sydney, and I was like, no. So anyway, so that's me, and I started eating. I had never eaten before in my life. Never, ever had I started eating. And it's awful because I just felt so powerless again and out of control and all this stuff. Slowly, slowly, I got it back together. I stayed. And then I started, because this is what happens in recovery. Things get deeper, these onion layers that everyone talks about. These things get peeled off you. And I had completed a whole, I had sponsees, I'd done all my steps, I made at 2 years, and I had lots of sponsees, making a load of mistakes with them, but I was still in NA, and I loved it. And we get to about 5 years, I start talking to my mum about the past, and I start, you know, these sort of 8 and 9 steps getting a bit deeper, and I'm thinking, I really resent my mother for what happened in the past. You know, I start going, actually, I think it's her fault. You know, and I start, and I hate my sister, and I hate my father. You know, these things are getting deeper and deeper, and I can't push them under the carpet. I try pushing them under the carpet. No, you know, and this is getting deeper and deeper. So the sponsor, why don't you do the steps again? Okay, so we start this. This 5 years clean. Then I get really depressed when I get to my second, sixth and seventh. I go, oh, my God, I've got these defects. I can't stand it. Get to about 5 years clean. And I'm at, I don't know what step it was, but I'm in a meeting of NA, and I'm standing up, and I'm normally this manic, you know, happy, life's amazing, you should all come to NA, you know, this sort of thing. And I start crying, and everyone starts clapping, yay, yeah. Right? Because for 5 years, I had been in NA like a nutcase, right? Just this defence, it's this defence, right, against this unhappiness that I had been carrying around forever. So I'm 26, I don't know what's going on, I start crying, I'm unhappy, I'm chaotic, the last speaker spoke about it. I'm chaotic, I don't know what to think, I don't know what to feel, I don't know who I am, I still haven't got a boyfriend after Piers, which is, I'm gutted. Do you know, I don't know who I am, and I keep going to the past to try and find what it is I am, and I don't know, I was just so unhappy, and I decide that what I need to do, because I wanted to stab my father a lot, I was very, very angry at my father who lived in Greece, I thought, I'm going to travel. I'm going to go to Greece. I'm going to explore my Greekness. This is the manic me's coming back, right? I'm going to explore my Greekness. I'm going to travel. Well, I hadn't been outside of Darwin and using heroin in a pub in Darwin. I'd done nothing in my using, nothing, travelled nowhere. Tasmania for drugs. I've done nothing, right? But I'm going to travel the world. My sister happens to be over here. Right, this is another one. This is boring story. She's here. I go, right, I'm going. So there's nothing holding me in Melbourne. I'm going. I'm going to explore my Greek. So I end up in London, and I come to a meeting. It's, I wonder what meeting. A Friday night, Charing Cross. And I walk in, I'm 6 years clean, right? Manically, wonderfully in NA, right? Happy. And I walk in, no one talks to me, right? It's cold, it's grey, it's raining. I come from Melbourne, it's tiny. There are thousands of people on the street at 8 o'clock at night. I didn't know where I was. My sister lived in Orpington, right, which is like another planet, and I had to get some train from Orpington to Charing Cross. I had no idea what I was doing, and I go to this meeting because manically, I'm going to go to a meeting, everyone's going to hug me and love me, and they're all going to say I'm great, and I'm going to feel amazing, and I'm going to love it. No one speaks to me, right? I was devastated. So I tail between the legs. I go back to Orpington. I have nightmares, right? I have nightmares. Because by you not mirroring to me, by me not seeing a smile or not able to connect with an NA person, I don't know who I am. Because I'm still lost at 6, 7 years ago. I don't know what I was doing. So anyway, I haven't left since. Oh, I did. I went to Greece, explored my Greekness, but I haven't left since. I'm still in London. So I've recovered from that meeting. It took me years living in London to make any friends. It was so hard because the first time, because I didn't have a peer group, I didn't get clean with anyone in NA. There wasn't anyone I could go, oh, do you remember when? Do you remember this? Do you remember that? But I did the same thing. I did service. I was on region. I did all sorts of things for about 11 years when I was here, about 11 years. Then I had my children and, you know, it all changed. So that's what I did. So I'm in Orpington. Jeez. Anyway, I get a job in waitressing like 15 hours a day for nothing in Blackfriars. I move to London and move into someone's house in Elephant and Cuff Castle. I mean, I haven't seen anything like, don't forget, this is this very naive little girl from Melbourne. And I met Joe, and I met him, and he had a flat in Westbourne Grove, Notting Hill, right? And I was living, after I went to Ellen Castle, I was in Bethnal Green on the floor of someone's estate house. And I thought, 6 weeks later, I had moved into Joe's house, he's my husband, and I haven't left, right? I haven't left. So I found my feet, I found Joe, I found someone to live, you know, I was all right. But it was this, what happened to me during that time is that I stayed with the same sponsor. I think I worked the steps again when I got here because I was so devastated. I threw myself into service. I did the same thing. But what, you know, although I had started this journey, this uncovering, this peeling the onion layers of this deep unhappiness, because it was a new city and I met Joe and all this stuff was happening, it kind of got covered up. Some of it got covered up, yeah? And so I defend. This is what I do. I defend. I walk out in the day and a lot goes on and I forget that I really need to get a handle on this unhappiness, this something in me. But anyway, I'm moving, Joe, and it's all right. Life's okay, right? I get on. And then 11 years in, so how long have I been here? I don't know how long I've been here. Anyway, I'm 11 years clean, so it's 5 years being here for something. My mum, I get a phone call from Melbourne. Anna, you've got to come home. Mum's on her way out. My mother got diagnosed with cancer. So I go, right, I've got to go home. So I go home. And I stay for 8 weeks and I nurse my mother and she dies. That's the end of me. I have to give up work. I can't stop crying. I get eczema all over my body. I can't talk to anyone. I go to meetings in Melbourne and I can't share with anyone. It's like, and this is the woman I'd been raging at, the woman that I had pointed the finger to and said, I hate you for being so inadequate, for not being perfect. I hate you for not being perfect and listening and understanding me. And I'm devastated. She dies and I'm devastated. And I, Joe came to Melbourne and I was covered with this eczema and I was in tears and I'd lost all this weight because I was nursing her. And he brought me back here and I spent 6 months not working. And had never, that had never happened in it. It was a little bit like standing up and getting a clap for crying at a meeting, but not quite, because what I lost then was God. Because all this time that I'd been recovering, this 11 years of recovery, something that I clung to was this idea of a higher power. It wasn't a religious God. For me, it was always good, orderly direction at the beginning. I was non-religious upbringing. I didn't know about Jesus, God, Catholic. I had no idea. But I believed you. I saw, in that time I was in recovery, I saw people come in and get clean and get well. It was amazing. I had sponsees doing it. I had my sponsor doing it and telling me how she did it. But when my mother died, this woman who I wanted to just hate, just say it's you, because I was so broken, I lost God. And every time I said God or tried to say the serenity prayer, or say, because I used to chant, let go, let go, let go, let go, in early recovery when I was going mad. I think of my mum. I couldn't think of anything. I said, is she there? Is mum? Oh, it was weird. I was really lost. And it took me a long time to recover. It's grief. And not only was I grieving for my mother, but for what she held of me, this baby, this child that I was. I mean, this is all very weird, you know, in an NA meeting. But I think that's what happens with these onion layers, is that I start remembering my past. I remember people from my childhood. I remember people from my school and wonder, why am I the only person on the planet that doesn't have any friends from school? None. None. Not a one. The unhappy. I was an unhappy child. I have no friends from college. It's weird. And I now hear everyone talking about all these friends. They've got 20, 30 years. None. I've got friends. I've got 27 years of friends in NA. Well, I don't have anyone. But as the years go on, these things, you start remembering things. You start thinking. Because it's about what I'm made of. And I come to NA and it gives me this way of life. But it doesn't take away where I came from. So when my mum died, I started remembering all this stuff. And I came back and promptly asked Joe to have a baby. So I wasn't, you know, this is some of the... So I thought, you know what, I've got to change. I've got to grow up. If I'm going to change my life and if I'm going to stay in NA, this is the other thing. What is the point of coming to NA and giving up drugs? Well, that could be fun, like in my friend, but, you know, some of it wasn't all bad, right? I say that with gritted teeth, but, you know, why am I coming to NA, having all this stuff, if I'm not happy? Why would I bother making this effort if I'm never going to grow and never going to change? So I get to this point in recovery where I think, right, I've got to do something different. Whether I'm going to have a baby. So we had a lot of fun having our baby. And then 9 months after, I said, Joe, it's time. And we have a lot of fun having my second. So I have these two beautiful children. I'm with Joe. I love Joe. He's a great guy. He's a great, you know, he's a good man. It's me that I'm dealing with. Even though I'd like to say he's deeply irritating, but he's a lovely guy, right? But it's me. It's me. It's this thing in me, right? So anyway, so we have these kids. I have my first, and I'd have no mother. I have no family in London. Joe's family are a nightmare. I would rather never see them, although I graciously opened my house through grace. Oh, it's horrible. So his family are worse than mine ever were. That's what I think. So anyway, I've gotten on here and I have this first child. Never felt so controlling in my life. People come in and say, we all say to each other, oh, you're so controlling. It's not true. When I had my first son and I saw his first illness or his first snot, where their snotting actually blocks up their entire nose, you know, or they're just pooing this weird, I was absolutely beside myself. And I lost touch with NA. I couldn't get to meetings because I couldn't let him go because I thought I'd kill him. I thought I would kill him. And I still have real fears that I didn't feed him properly. I do. It's a real weird one. But I think that's all about this bad thing in me, or me not being right, or me not knowing the answer, but everyone else has got it. And it's, you know, they don't tell you what you do when you grow up in NA. They tell you what to, you know, I mean, they do, but they don't sort of spell it out like, if you have a baby, you must do this, you know. And I couldn't get to any meetings anyway. Actually, what I'm doing is telling all these sort of moments in my recovery leading up to here that have brought me unhappiness. This feeling where this, what it is my fear builds, yeah? My fear gets bigger, and that's why I picked up. So that's what I'm telling you. So my kids, yeah? So freaked out about that. And then I don't know. And then if I think, because, you know, Ariel just turned 13, and he's a lovely boy, teenager. And I don't mind that so much. It's this thing with Joe, because I think what happened is that with kids and with life and with meetings and with, you know, his stuff, my stuff, is I think I've drifted from him. I don't know how to talk to him anymore. I don't know how to say things like, Joe, I feel really unhappy, or I don't know how to say I'm lonely, because actually I think I'm very lonely, not so. And I think that's what causes the unhappiness. And I think with the kids and getting, you know, just trying to be an adult and a good mom and all this stuff, I get lonely, because it's not enough for me to just kind of look after my children. That's a manic defense, isn't it? You know, when you first come to recovery, you do all these sort of outreach calls and you're an amazing service junkie and it's just the best. But if you don't keep a handle on yourself, you get lost. You get lost. And when I was looking after my mum, I looked after her and I got lost. When I came to London and I tried to fit in, I got lost. I didn't know who you were. So this is, I think, what's happening now, is that I feel really lonely again. And I feel that I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to ask Joe. And, you know, we went for a walk on Saturday. He's going to kill me for telling you. It's all right, you know. We went for a walk and we'd had this big talk, you know, one of these big talks that you have with your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, you know, these big talks about how I feel. So I needed to talk about how I feel, right? It's really, I was so, you know, I'm so important. My feelings are so important. I need to tell Joe how I feel, right? I'm so earnest about my feelings. That's what it is. It's my feeling. Don't you take away my feelings. So anyway, so we go on. Don't forget, my thinking slightly disordered because I am unhappy somewhere in there, right? So we go on this talk. I say, the kids are skateboarding ahead, right? Oh, it's a mad scene. And I start going, why haven't you talked to this? I mean, this is it. Why haven't you been talking to me this morning? He goes, what? Right? I mean, this is out of the blue. We had a lovely walk, lovely. It wasn't raining, all right. Why haven't you been talking to me this morning? He goes, what? I go, Well, why haven't you reached out to me this morning and asked me how I am and how I'm feeling? I told you I was unhappy. I mean, this is really, I believe this, right? He's going, what? Right? What are you talking about? I can't believe, and I start getting a bit, I'm getting a bit angry now. I can't believe you don't understand what I mean. I mean, I spent all this time telling you how unhappy I am and my feelings, and you're not asking me this morning before 11 a.m. whether I'm all right. Right, this is coming out of my mouth, right? And he's just like, and I don't know what you're talking about. He's starting to get angry now. What? He's swearing. I'm swearing. What are you talking about, Anna? He's getting angry. What are you talking about?
I just want you to tell me. I want you to talk to me.
And he loses it. Surprise, surprise. One of us loses it. It's poor old Joe, right? He throws his key down. Yeah, I'm walking. The kids are waiting for us down the hill on their skateboards. They go, why is Dad so angry? I go, don't worry, don't worry. The minute he gets angry, I change. I go, like that. Okay? If you're a newcomer, I don't know if you relate to this, but this for me was about my using. This is my defects of character. Right? I go, he gets angry, he loses it. I push him to get what I want, a bit like my using when I'm sending people off doing God knows what for drugs. You know, I'm pushing. He loses it, and I go, I feel a bit better. I don't know. It's terrible. I feel so awful. Joe is amazing. He's a lovely, poor Joe. Right? Listen, I'm all right. But listen, okay. So I lose it. He loses it, I feel better. And then I go following him. Oh, you were right, Joe. You were right, Joe. Right? Then I try to fix it. I go, Joe, you were right. And he's like, I can't believe it. He doesn't look like, kids, go home. Take the keys. Send the kids home. Anyway, it sorts itself out because I'm a dog with a bone. I can't let it go. Joe, we've got to sort this out. Okay, five minutes. Okay, so sorry. 5 minutes. Okay. So we sort this out. So I'm back where I started, aren't I, at the beginning where I was very unhappy. We sort this out and we have a day at a barbecue with these very straight people. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We have this barbecue with these people and Joe's unhappy, I'm unhappy, we're pretending, they're talking, just this people. Anyway, and we go on, you know, we just go on. And I end up, I mean, before we went to the barbecue, I said, look, Joe, I'm really sorry. Perhaps I didn't say it in the right way. And I'm sorry about for my part. And he's like, you know what? It's okay, Anna. He's gone. I love Joe. Goes, it's okay, Anna. I know things aren't right. You know, we know things aren't right. And it's 50-50. To be honest, in any relationship, my belief is 50-50, okay? And, you know, Chick and I, who started it, it doesn't really matter. You know, we're both in it. We've been together a long time. So he's up for the work, right? But I'm still feeling a bit unhappy, although I am feeling slightly better. The week has gone on and I'm feeling slightly better because what's happening is I'm starting to realise that I need to, rather than look to Joe to be different, to change, although he does. I mean, there are things we both need to do. But rather than focus on Joe's, I need to just focus on mine. This is the program, right? This is like doing my fourth step for me. This is about doing my character, my defects, my tenth step. And this is why I'm here. Because another thing has happened in recovery where I am left, I am in touch with that very core part of me that is at dis-ease. I'm not sure it's ever going to go. I don't wake up fearful. My self-esteem has grown, but I don't know, if you look at me wrong, sometimes I start crying because I feel like you've rejected me. But it's rare now, but it can happen, right? I'm not saying it'll never happen, but those things are past. My self-obsession has dwindled unless I'm unhappy or fearful, which at the moment, it's not great. But it's not that bad where I need to go and use or even eat. I mean, actually, my eating, everything's kind of been okay. Because I've started talking more honestly, yeah, to Joe, really, to the person that I need to be communicating with. And I've started staying with myself a bit and being less fearful of what might happen. Because if I think of the future, I get frightened. If I think of the past, I'm resentful. I need to be here, right? I need to be here. And when I'm here, my unhappiness and my fear diminishes. It does. I feel better just for being here. It's not that everything is solved. It's not that when I leave this room, I'm going to know how to fix my life problem. But I feel better and I feel fed. I feel mirrored by you. I'm in an NA meeting. What else is there? There's nothing else. Because if I pick up, if I get to that point where I think, you know what, I'm going to believe my thinking. I'm going to believe it's all Joe's fault. And I wreck the marriage. The two boys are going to be devastated. They're going to hate me forever. Right? If I do that because I'm so self-centered that I can't bear to say sorry or that I made a mistake, what's the point? But if I can't, you know, if I stay here and I do the things you suggest, I'm not as unhappy as I was, so it's worth coming. You know, I want to tell everybody, it's worth doing it. So in my darkest moments in this fellowship, I have never picked up. I've not wanted to pick up because I remember you. I do. I remember you. I have had the same sponsor for this whole time. She knows me. My sister is now in recovery. I lost a half brother to this. A heroin addict jumped off a balcony in Athens 2 years ago, the last time I did a share here. And I was going to Athens to do a mercy mission, try and get my father to an AA meeting. Stuff happens, right? But if I come here, it addresses that fear, that unhappy part in me that thinks there's something bad going to happen or that I'm bad. And I'm not. I'm not bad. It's not all my fault. I wanted to say then, Joe's really irritating. But it's not. It's not all my fault and it's not his. It's 50-50 and I'm in it. I want to be in this. And I suppose it's 50-50 in NA. If I don't come and I don't contribute, I can't take anything from you. But if I come and put my 50% in, I get it all back. So I'm sorry if I've gone over. I just, you know, I'm lonely, but I'm not alone because I'm here. But I need to just do some work. I need to put a bit of effort in and to take a bit of responsibility and things will change. And I have that faith because I come here and I've seen it in you, by what you do. So thank you very much. Thanks.
NA, we celebrate clean time with keyrings, claps and hugs, and for that I'm going to hand it back to tonight's sharers again.
Hi, my name's Anna, I'm an addict. Hi. I'm a celebrate.